Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Full or part-time options, 518-454-5143.
And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com.
From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Well, this is The Media Project, absolutely, as you can tell by hearing Pete Seeger's wonderful introductory music, the best part of the show, we always say. Alan Shartok is here, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, of course.
Well, thank you very much.
This is glad to have a chance to hear from you, Alan.
This studio
and we
is,
also
this,
yeah, here we go.
This studio is my real estate.
And next to him is Judy Patrick, the editor of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady.
Hey, it's nice to be here on a week when there's so much to talk about.
Absolutely. And I'm Rex Smith of the Times Union, and we're happy to have you with us. Before we get into the major topic of the week, I have to go back to one because we have some mail, unfinished business, so to speak.
M-A-L-E or
M-A-I-L. This guy, in fact, writes a letter that says, "Dear Professor Shartok, I agree with you 100%. Now, when you start that way, who knows what he's talking about, right?
I didn't know.
And Alan doesn't care.
I changed my tune on every different show, so I don't even remember what I said.
Well, this guy, who's a professor at Vassar, Michael, writes to us and says, he's talking about the photograph that we complained about showing the man in the subway, the cover photograph from the New York Post, showing the man trying to crawl out of the subway. He's seconds from being run over by the train.
I thought it was unnecessary.
Right.
I think.
And Rosemary Armeo was here saying, no, it was absolutely newsworthy. A week later, Ira agreed with her. We have not had a chance yet to hear from Judy. What he says, what professor says, is what I didn't hear anybody say about the difference in the two photographs, that is, between that photograph and the photograph of the shooting in Times Square that was about to happen. Somebody coming up behind a man with a gun who was about to shoot him.
Yes, yes.
Which the New York Times ran. What I didn't hear, he said, the difference between those two photographs was the photograph of the shooter was of a public menace, the perpetrator of a crime. The photograph in the subway was of an innocent victim, and that was sensationalism, pure and simple. Reproducing innocent victims is disrespectful and only furthers the goals of the perpetrator, which is to terrorize. Now, Judy, you being the expert.
Now, here's Missy Nicey about to do her thing. Say, well, I can understand this. You know.
Thanks a lot, Alan. And so I listened to Ira last week, and he made some really good points about there is no right or wrong when you're trying to decide a lot of these issues. And on that photo of the victim clinging to the edge of the subway track, it was a really dramatic picture, and it was just the victim. The letter writer makes a really good point, is you don't want to victimize the victim twice. Is it really newsworthy? Do people really need to see it? I don't think I would have run that photo, especially not on the front page. I might have run it inside. We don't run pictures of people being pulled out of car crashes. In the old days, we ran on our front page murder victims laying in the street. So times have changed, but I think we don't have to show everybody everything we know.
Okay, yes. I would like to check in, if I may, on this very issue.
Be nice.
That's nice. I mean,
it's the holidays.
I love you. And I have to say this, though. I was in New York this weekend, right? I go down into the subway. Everybody is leaning up against the far wall.
Absolutely.
So did it have a prophylactic effect?
Uh-huh.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Effect on behavior? The answer is yes. People are, and by the way, the subway people now have things posted in the cars about not standing too close to the track. So there is something to be said. Lives are being saved because that picture was run, even though I was against running the picture.
Yeah, interesting. You were. Yeah. Well, by the way, this professor from Vassar adds that he also disagreed that the Vietnam photograph, that is the question of the execution, that is such a famous image from the Vietnam War, he does not believe that was responsible. It was a horrific photograph that disturbed me as an impressionable teenager, and it should not have been smeared all over the television. I don't think it did anything for the dignity of the individual who lost his life. Clearly had no impact on reducing gun violence. Well, that's not what it's about. You know, that was not about gun violence. That was about what was going on in that war.
It was the face of a war.
Right. I disagree with him.
Absolutely.
By the way, I disagreed on the show and with him now.
That was about the corruption of the government, in fact, in Vietnam, because that was a government summary execution, as a matter of fact. Interesting. Here's somebody else's point of view. Sal writes and says, I think all photographs, no matter how graphic, should be made public, not necessarily front page, but available so people can find the rawness of the realities of society and all cultures. People shouldn't be coddled and be candy-coated for them. So, you know, it's not realistic, of course, given the thousands of photographs that pour into our computer systems every day for us.
But on our online, we can post a lot more photos than we used to. And actually, we do make a distinction. We do post some photos online that we don't print in the newspaper.
Well, absolutely. You know, I think that's a bit of a cop-out, to be honest with you, Judy. In other words, whether it's on the front page or whether it's on the, you know, whether it's like the people who play porn after Channel 13 on the cable, you know. So you mean a kid can't find... What are you looking?
What's he talking about?
The theory is that there are some things you're not allowed to do on over-the-air television, right?
Ah, yes.
But on cable, you're allowed to. It begs the question of a little kid with a clicker. He doesn't know this, or she doesn't know the distinction between what's on cable and what's on. All that kid knows is you just keep pressing and you keep getting pictures and you end up saying, Mommy, what's this? You know, what's happening here? You know, and this morning in one of the tabloids, as we speak, with this end of the world thing, the Mayan end of the world thing coming up.
Does that mean the show's not going to run?
The show's not going to run.
It might not.
It's all over.
Oh, no. She's taking off her earphones. I'm walking out.
It's all over.
Okay, but wait.
Doesn't matter.
But wait. They have this beautiful, stunning woman on the front page of the tab saying, I want to have sex before the end of the world. She's a model.
Uh-huh.
Now, I happen to think with everything we now know about HIV and all of these other things, that this is a very bad and irresponsible thing for this newspaper to be doing and only
Well,
possible.
Now, wait a minute. This is just one of the New York tabloids just trying to sell newspapers by putting
exactly.
sexy model on the front page.
But they sell 700,000, 800,000 copies of the paper every day, don't they?
Yeah.
And therefore, they are journalism, whether you keep trying to deny that your brethren, you know, in the tabloids.
My brethren. Well, anyway,
when you go, that means you're going to lie.
I was going to disagree with you about this notion. I think context does matter. You know, where we play a photograph, how we play it. A great example is the notion of a body. I think there can be a tasteful and appropriate way to show a dead body. And that is if you perhaps show it in the context of the photograph of the person while alive, for example, or something like that, that maybe it can be not exploitative, but rather informational. So that's possible.
And play is important, too. Putting a photo on the front page big is different than putting it inside because that front page is on newsstands, that front page is on the kitchen tables when people bring it into the house in the morning.
That's right. And what we used to call the post-toasties test or the Cheerios test, Alan. Of course, they don't make post-toasties anymore. Isn't that sad to think of? No more post-toasties.
She's so young, she doesn't even remember.
No, I do. In fact, I'm salivating as you can.
That's really good. Glad to help. My grandfather used to have them every morning. He would pour his post-toasties into a bowl and then wash it out and pour his coffee into the same bowl and then wash it out and leave it sitting next
that
to the sink.
That is so interesting,
isn't
right?
that fascinating? But we would call it the post-toasties test to see if it would sicken people as they were trying to eat their breakfast. We would try not to put it on the front page.
Well, as I said, and I'm not going to, you know, say it again because I know that you would say
but
to me.
But he is going
to
say it again.
But there I know
is.
That you would say to me, you said it twice, it's come around twice, so that's it. But we know that that's a cop-out because, you know, somebody's going to find it. Somebody's going to be offended by it. Some Vassar professor is going to write us and say, you know, it's changed my life. I saw it as a 16-year-old or whatever. So, you know, whether it's on the front page or whether it's on page 16, I'm sorry, it doesn't pass the test.
Here is a similar question and significant topic that we have to deal with. Of course, we need to talk about what happened in Newtown, Connecticut.
We do.
But in the context of photography, we have one of our regular listeners, Michael, writes in to say that he's a news junkie and he checks the AP Raw news feed several times a day until a recent change, which doesn't allow that, by the way. So he says, you know, what the average person doesn't realize, which he does because of his connection to having read a variety of raw news feeds, is that there are several gun stories every day. Mostly they make the local paper only when they're local, which are particularly horrific. And he says what the press should do is print short versions of all these stories in a black box on the front page every day. Such prominence should be given to each story of deaths by accident, deaths by children, and deaths where the person killed was the gun owner. So, what do we think about that?
Is he suggesting everyone in the country we put on the front page every day?
Yes, I think that's so.
Well, he may have his tongue in his cheek. I don't know. But basically, the one thing I wanted to ask you experts, if I may, it's my impression from reading certain local newspapers that crime sells. And
not always. Not necessarily.
No.
No. Actually, mostly nothing sells. By that, I mean, mostly what you choose for the front page doesn't really affect sales unless it's a humongous story like hurricane or something. But generally, your newsstand sales are in this market are not affected by what you put on the front page.
I hear that, and I've heard that before many times.
But you still don't believe it, right?
It keeps coming around, so that's it.
No, you can judge by the hits you get online, too.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's right.
Crime stories do get a lot of hits, but so do weather stories or anything with the word sex in the headline.
Sure. I get it.
Right.
So now what I'm trying to say or ask you is, you guys do polling, don't you, in your industry?
Industry-wide, we do. I don't think individually in our... Yeah. We probably can't afford
Judy
that anymore, can we, Judy?
Judy has her own way of doing it, which is the number of hits you get.
Oh, yeah, we do that. We track that carefully.
So therefore, you know, I have definitely seen newspapers where crime has been emphasized more and more because I think people are horrified by it. In any case, we're on to
Newtown.
No, I'm sorry. In any case, we're on to Newtown. And when you take a look at the 24-hour news coverage, even NPR was offering live and the rest of it, it is one of those once-in-a-100-year stories, isn't it? I mean, it's amazingly difficult for people to absorb. And it's changing our political culture, I can tell you that. And the more publicity it gets, you get the president of the United States immediately announcing he's for gun control in a way he never did before. You get the governor of New York coming up with a package of bills that will make a big difference in New York, which I can only applaud him for. This is where the news industry becomes the transmission belt to political decision making.
But on the actual event itself, how did the media do? It was a tough afternoon last Friday to watch as bad information came out and got disseminated.
Bad information, absolutely. There was of course, first we had the name wrong. We had the wrong brother's name.
And then we had the use of the wrong brother's photo.
Right. And then there was what weapon was used. That went on for a couple of days. It was unclear whether it was, in fact, the Bushmaster rifle or some other weapon that was used and what was found in the car.
What is this? This is just the rush to get it right, to get stuff before anybody else does.
You know, you can partly, I think the news media ought to have some criticism for it, but the fact is, there are trustworthy sources who sometimes get things wrong, and I'm reminded of a few years ago during the coal mine disaster in West Virginia when the governor came out and announced that sadly all the miners were dead. And of course, that was put into the papers. And then it turned out the governor was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people blamed the media. How dare you have reported this? It's a terrible thing. Well, you know, when the governor says something like that, you report it. He's the authority. He's the source. And similarly here, the difficulty is not all of this is equal. Some of this is based upon police sources and some of it was not. And so, for example, wasn't it Fox, I think, that went with really bad information about, I know, it was a Fox News report saying that Adam Lanza had killed his mom and embarked upon his rampage because she had initiated court proceedings to have him committed.
Mm.
There was no source for that. And the problem is that other people began to pick it up and to then report it, initially attributing to Fox and then not at all.
And also that she was a teacher in the school, people were reporting, and that's why he picked that particular school and passed others by. Nevertheless, with all of that said, and it is reprehensible that we can't get it right, there is still the powerful, powerful presence of the press that brought this tragedy into the homes of all of America. And I think with all of these other mistakes, which are terrible, it still is that it was the press that is going to lead to this political change, in my mind.
You know, and the press is getting criticized at this point for still being in Newtown and still being such a massive mob presence down there. But the stories do have to be told. It's a shame that the community has to shoulder that burden of so much press.
But. Oh, and it's a terrible thing for the reporters who are there. And I'd say, by the way, our company owns the closest daily newspaper to Newtown, the Danbury News Press. And so I've been sending Times Union reporters over there to Connecticut to help out.
And we will
be continuing to do that for the next month. We'll have additional staffers from other Hearst papers around the country coming in to help out.
That's a very interesting point, maybe obscure, but do you get pressure from Hearst Central to share your resources?
Well, I guess you could call it pressure. I mean, we were asked, can you help out in Connecticut?
That's what I call pressure.
That'd be pressure, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're happy to help these poor people. I mean, imagine this is the same community that was just hit last month by Hurricane Sandy.
Sure.
And at least the southern part of it, and trying to recover from that, the same news organization that is now suddenly has this huge story. So some of our top staffers, people in this community know Paul Grondahl, our wonderful writer, went over there. We sent our photo editor. We sent several people.
Are you able to use them for your own product also?
Yes, but the first responsibility is to the Connecticut properties, and so there often isn't time. So we, for example, have had to use wire stories in our early editions, and then as the paper's rolling on the press, we will stop and replate, hang a new plate on with something written by staff.
Interesting, and I love the way you say, use the word properties, because that's what journalism has become, hasn't it? Sort of properties, like you're playing Monopoly, as opposed to newspapers.
Boy, that is really funny, Alan. You're correct. That is how that's the
quick,
term.
I'm quick, man.
That they are used. That's the term of art at the tower at our headquarters. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Properties.
So people should realize that almost no reporter wants to knock on the door of a grieving family and say, would you be willing to talk to us about, you know, your dead child? Reporters don't actually like to do it, but it is their job and they have to make the effort. I wish it was more a way to do it in a more sensitive, coordinated way. You know, I see some of the families talking to the news media, and they're very touching stories. I mean, that's part of what's selling this tragedy to the American public or to the world. But it is a tough process to go through.
It's difficult. You know, you hate to do that. We've all been in that situation where you knock on the door when someone's been killed and you almost don't want somebody to come to the door. On the other hand, sometimes people want to talk about their loved one.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, they do.
I had a fabulous interview, which hasn't been on the radio as we speak yet, for an hour with two parents whose kid had been killed by a drunk driver who had six DUI convictions behind them.
Mm.
And they wanted that story told because they thought it could lead to change.
You know, the fact is people will say, oh, you press are just interested in selling newspapers and it's just all for sensationalism. But I think that there's a societal purpose that's served by going into these communities and reporting this. And that is, you know, one of the great human emotions is empathy. And we gain empathy by hearing about the experiences of other people that we haven't gone through. I hope that none of us has to have the tragedy that has befallen these people in Newtown, Connecticut. But the media serves its valid purpose, which is to help people grasp the world beyond their own experience when we do this kind of reporting, and humans gain empathy from reading that. So I think there's a value to that. And as you were saying, Alan, there's that public policy offshoot that is a result of this, a result of the reporting, you know?
Think about it. The NRA was untouchable to the point where the Democratic candidate, Barack Obama, who I absolutely think has the right sensitivities when it comes to, you know, the need for more gun laws, he wasn't going to touch it during the campaign, really, because he just understood that being president, and I mean this in the best way, was more important than letting Mitt Romney be president. But this happens, and then all of a sudden, all the corks come out of the bottle, and the genies are out, and we're going to see some real and massive change, and the press is the transmission belt.
Yeah, absolutely so. Because there's great interest in this. Actually, there's a statistic from Pew Research Center showing that nearly 6 in 10 Americans were following the Newtown shooting closely. That's higher than any of the mass shootings since Columbine. Columbine was slightly higher. That was, of course, the first of the modern era mass shootings that people are really aware of. Then came Virginia Tech, Tucson, Aurora. I mean, there's so much of it. USA Today did an interesting statistical study showing that there is what police define as a mass shooting every 2 weeks in America.
Is that right?
People don't think about this, but police define a mass shooting as four or more victims by a single shooter. And that happens every 2 weeks.
And every one of us who have either children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, I mean, there are a lot of really good, usually stoic people walking around crying with tears in their eyes because they just can't figure this out.
Yeah, the newsroom is usually a pretty cynical place, but last Friday afternoon it was so silent as everyone was just reading those updates. It was eerie. You're talking about, you know, kids, 6 years old.
Oh, my God. It's more than I can...
One of the things that we learned from this is, and actually I'm looking at a piece written by Craig Silverman, a press columnist, who says there are two things that journalists can do during these situations to help ensure they're playing a constructive role. One is the value of restraint. That is, think about the news organizations that didn't use the Facebook profile. We had actually our social media strategist, Christy Barletti, had sent a memo to our staff quickly saying, beware. And please, nobody tweet or retweet anything from Ryan Lanza. There is great confusion. This seems not to be the actual shooter. And it's a really good thing she did. A lot of news organizations went ahead and put his name out and retweeted stuff. And Christy quickly, because of her social media savvy, recognized that it was a problem. And restraint is a value that's rarely celebrated in journalism, but it is a value that we ought to admire.
Is the brother now able to sue some of the news organizations that did this?
Possibly. I would think you could make a case that there was...
Negligence.
Yeah. Reckless disregard could even be. But he would probably even have a lower standard than reckless disregard. He could probably just, that carelessness could be. He wasn't a public figure. And so he might actually have a case. It's an interesting question. And then the second important thing is putting in context. You know, you have to just say that everything that we are doing, all this reporting may or may not be entirely accurate. Dan Rather was on CBS right after 9/11 saying, you know, bear in mind, folks, that early reports are often wrong. And it was really good of him to do that because nobody really knew what was going on then. And a lot of this after the initial shooting, we really didn't know what was happening. So it's good to put that in context and let people understand that we may or may not know what's going on.
Right, yet. Because we're doing things so fast and online, the idea is to let them know what we don't know. This is why we don't know the ID of the person, but this is, we have one name, but we haven't got it confirmed, and we're not going to tell you this. Other agencies may be doing this, but we're not doing it because we're not confident of our sources.
But of course, there are news agencies, Judy, that will be willing to do it. And say, okay, if we get it wrong and we get sued, that's the price of what we do.
And you lose your credibility, too. Some of the...
Your post has credibility.
Some of the places I was following on Friday afternoon, I realized how they had misled me, how mistaken I was about the whole event, because I was buying what they had told me that I don't go to them anymore, at least not this week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week.
Yeah,
maybe. All
right. It's hard. By the way, one of the in this local market of New York's Capital Region, one of the interesting things that we saw was news... sharing on the part of the ABC affiliate here, WTEN, and the Fox affiliate, WXXA, their reporters are now sharing. And so they put a...
Why are they sharing?
Money. Who can afford all the reporters needed?
So they're not buying it? It's not going to be a purchase? It's just a cooperative agreement?
I don't know the financials of that, but the Fox affiliate here has let go its general manager and news director, and a lot of that is now under the management of WTEN. Surely there's a financial arrangement to make that happen, but it's interesting when you see these things going on in local markets just because of the change of the landscape in the media, which we talk about here pretty often.
We do. It's all about money.
That wasn't where I was going.
Well, I thought I'd make
and,
that.
And the truth. And getting the truth out.
Yeah.
Serving the public.
You We're trying to
so
get the truth
boy.
Out.
Everybody's sitting there and they're saying the most important thing is getting
it is.
The truth
no,
out.
It, well, that's
and
why
doing
we're
no
here.
No harm to others and all of that.
Minimize harm.
Minimize.
This is it.
Yeah, got it.
Glad to help. All right. Thank you, folks, for joining us on the Media Project.
Reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people.
They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Their policies...